This is the Friends of History Debating Society, and my good friend Michael Yan, he is in Panama reporting on his week at the Panama-Darien Province Gap, the infamous Darien Gap, the numbers, the refugee migrant flow, the camps. Michael, a very good day to you. The camps are building. You report to me when we last spoke that you had a team that just came in from one of the two new camps. Where are the camps, and why are they building new camps? How big are they? Good day, Michael.
Good day from Panama. Yep, the two new camps they're building in the Darien Gap. One is near a village called Canan Membrillo. This is the village that most of the Chinese will use when they come in. Right now, actually, most of the Chinese are using Bajo Chiquito Village, for those who are familiar with Darien Gap. So that's one camp. The other camp is near Bajo Chiquito Village, and this one is 60 to 80 acres at this time. We've droned it twice in the last few weeks, and it's growing. And nobody is in the new camps yet. They're just cutting them down. The Imbara Indians are out there with their machetes, cutting them down. We've been out there talking with them and that sort of thing. New Camp 1, which is – we just call it New Camp 1, near Bajo Chiquito, is going to be big enough for 15,000 people. It's not going to have any electricity, to my knowledge, unless they bring out generators, but that's normal here. This is rough living. But interestingly, in addition to the new camp for at least 15,000 people, that's just one of the two new camps. They're also much faster than they used to be. In other words, they're not really camps as much as they are way stations now. For instance, in the past, even 6 months ago, when you come into the camps, you generally spend at least a few days, sometimes a week or more, and sometimes even much longer. But now, generally, you can come in and just spend a few hours. You're just waiting for a boat or a bus. And then the Costa Rican president and the Panamanian president were down in the Darien on October 6th. And they announced a new plan that the aliens, as they leave the Darien Gap on the buses, they will not have to stop at the Costa Rican border anymore and show their passports. They'll just flow right through from Darien straight up through Panama, through Costa Rica, right to the Nicaraguan border. So that's much smoother. So at this time, you could literally leave. They started doing that last Sunday, by the way, so that you can just flow right from the Darien Gap right to the Nicaraguan border. So now, as of last Sunday, you could literally leave Colombia and be up to the Nicaraguan border in 5 days, pretty readily, actually. And it used to take weeks, generally, to do that, to get up that far. You would have to stop at a series of camps. Now you're just coming out of the Darien Gap, getting onto a bus, and boom, you're at the Nicaraguan border, after that long, very long bus ride. So this is how – so the camps are getting bigger. The camps are becoming more numerous, and they're far more efficient. Now, right now – In August, the Panamanian government said 82,000 aliens came through the Darien Gap, 82,000 that they know of. Now, in September, I was down here watching with my team. We don't know the actual numbers from the Panamanian government yet, but I'm going to guess it was closer to 100,000 last month because we were watching the flows increase. And now my estimation is that by about January or February, you'll probably see about 300,000 a month come through the Darien Gap. Why do I say this? The two new camps, also the presidents of Costa Rica and Panama announced that they're going from about 60 buses, so about five dozen buses per day, to about 200, right? So there's a lot more buses being brought online. The camp flows are more efficient. They're very fast, and they're bigger, and they're more. So all of these things, I'm being conservative to say 300,000 a month. Now, if you build a couple of new bridges and do a few other tweaks, you could easily have 1 million per month come through Panama. Notice I'm not saying through Darien. I'm saying through Panama. There's other ways to get around Darien, which have been done for years, taking boats and bypassing the Darien Gap. Some people already do that. But you can just increase those other flows and, instantly – in reality, it's not difficult. Just a few tweaks, and you could have 1 million people per month coming through
Michael,
Panama.
Who are they? Are they Venezuelans? Are they Cubans? Are they Haitians? Is there any one group that's dominating? Are they Chinese?
You know, as you know, when you and I talk, this always, these flows are always, the ratios are always changing. Remember, a few years ago, it was Haitians and Cubans mostly, and then it went to other groups, and now it's mostly Venezuelans. And, but 3,000 to 5,000 people per day, sometimes up to 5,000 now, but that number is still going up. I think there was 6,000 recently in one day. Mostly Venezuelans now, but the Chinese numbers are also increasing. We get people, I've had people come in, quite a few say they're from Gaza, people coming. We know huge numbers of Hezbollah are in Venezuela, right? And Peru, and they speak Spanish fluently. They were born and raised in Venezuela or Peru. Their body language is local. It matches everything because they actually grew up there. So we know that a lot of those are coming through, but we don't know the numbers.
Are they young? With children? Do you see? Remember in the early days, two years ago, we saw pregnant women and we saw men accompanying them. Sometimes we saw small children. Do you still see that?
Oh, yeah. We still see that quite a lot. I mean, I see entire family units of Chinese and others coming through,
right.
Venezuelans or whatever, and a lot. I mean, I've got thousands of photos and videos of this. I mean, you wouldn't believe how much I've got that never hits the press.
2 years ago.
But mostly it's military-age males, by far.
2 years ago, we saw people who seemed very straitened, very little money on them, poor preparation for the gap or even for any travel over 5 or 10 days to the American border. Do the people, but I've recently seen video that you provided me with, it looks like backpackers on the Appalachian Trail. They've got the right boots, they've got the right shoes, they're dressed appropriately, they have a sleeping gear. What do you see now? Do you see people who look desperate and not well equipped, or do you see people with lots of equipment?
Oh, yeah. There's still people that come through having not done their homework or preparation. And they're, you know, a lot of them don't come through because they're dead out in the jungle now. Cause that jungle's, you know, it is the Darien Gap. And, but you'll see Chinese typically come through in very good condition. Chinese look like they actually are on vacation. I think I've sent you video before where the Chinese actually, they have, videos that they send around to each other on WeChat and whatnot. And they make it look like a vacation, like a horse riding vacation. They rent horses from the Kuna. Here you are riding in the back of a center front truck. Here you are on a piragua, which is the dugout canoes. Here you are getting on the bus and go, and they make it look like a huge adventure. And the Chinese come through often. Actually, interestingly, often when you look at videos that I or others make, it looks like the Chinese literally are. They're very clean. They're not all cut up. They're not limping around. Although one Chinese lady had an infected feet recently, and we actually helped her. You know, I'm not supposed to help anybody, but I can't sit there and watch somebody die of infection either. You know, and they come through and they look good. Almost all the Chinese look very good. And why? One reason is they bring extra clothes in plastic bags. And after they get through the gap, they throw away the old clothes and they get into the new ones like Superman. And also they do take easier routes. The Chinese do, and they're more organized, right? The Chinese, they don't play around. You know, they're people that develop systems. They don't come in helter-skelter like the Haitians do. The Haitians just sort of rush into the jungle and, you know, come through. The Chinese make a system.
The officials, the Panamanian officials and the Costa Rican officials were visiting the gap, I think, a week or two ago. And the center front is front and center in Panama. I'm just setting up that all of this is government-approved, probably government funded, and that includes now Costa Rica state security, Costa Rica government cooperating with the transit of the migrants coming through the gap. Is all that correct, Michael?
That's all correct. Now, keep in mind, a lot of Americans, when they hear that, they get angry at Panama, and I would encourage them to withhold that judgment on Panama. And they'll say, why don't we do something against Panama or Colombia or whatever? But in reality, it's the United States specifically and openly. They're not hiding this. This is not hidden at all. The United States is the one forcing Panama to do this. And at a higher level, it's openly, well, not to go into all this, the Compact of Global Migration, all these sorts of things. But the bottom line is, certain countries like Panama, Colombia, Costa Rica, they are seen as facilitator countries. And then there's the recipient countries like the United States and Canada and Germany and Italy and whatnot.
All right, I'll report to you what I have from the week. Talking to Harry Siegel of The City. Last week, The City recorded the largest number coming in a week, last week. I was given rough numbers. That's all we have, 2,500 a week, mostly settling in Manhattan, where I'm told City Hall is pleased to be able to fill up the hotels that have been partially used since the pandemic. There are migrants in the boroughs, but nowhere near the numbers there are in Manhattan, especially on the west side of Manhattan. The mayor, Eric Adams, traveled to Mexico, Colombia, the Colombia side of the Darien Gap, for a walk and talk. And I was told he went to Ecuador as well, but I don't confirm that. He returned to New York. However, the numbers continued to climb. His message had been, don't come to New York, we're out of room. Apparently, that hasn't discouraged anyone. The mayor has asked his counselors to seek to overturn or suspend a 1980s law that the city would provide shelter and sustenance for any refugee arriving. The governor, Governor Hochul of New York, has now joined in by urging the courts to overturn or at least suspend that particular law that the city council passed back in the 20th century. That hasn't happened yet, and it has to happen in the court. And that's one city. The other city I reported on this week is San Diego, which has great weather, as we all know. At the same time, the number, according to San Diego, is 13,000 migrants have been bused directly to San Diego. The doors by a Department of Homeland Security bus. It's a white bus. White, painted white. No markings on it. The doors open and the migrants walk off. That's it. And the number is now 13,000. There's no evidence that the city has changed its ability to house or shelter 13,000 people, but it is California. The weather's better. And they move on. That's two cities in America. I'm sure we could tell that story again and again. And what you're saying, Michael, is there is indication now that there's an infrastructure in place to increase the number of arrivals at the U.S. southern border by double or triple by the end of the year. Is that correct, Michael? We're just guessing, but we know it will increase. Is all that correct?
Oh, yeah. They're not indications, though. I mean, I've physically put my feet into New Camp. I've walked around in it. I mean, it's there. And we've droned it twice now. And the presidents of Costa Rica and Panama have clearly stated they're going to increase the flow. Okay. They're going to bring it up to 200 buses from about 60 per day to 200. I mean, that's definitely happening. So the flows that people have seen so far are nothing compared to what's coming.
What are they charging? We've got to give some sense of the economy here. What does a bus ride cost?
A bus ride from the Darien Gap to the Nicaraguan border is now $60, $60, right? And that is, if you don't have the money when you come through the gap because you got robbed or whatever, you can work in like Las Blancas camp. I talked with some of those people recently. They're the ones that are out there picking up trash. So if you don't have money, you can work in the camp for 4 or 5 days, picking up trash, doing that sort of thing. And then you'll have your bus ride to Nicaragua. But if you've got the money, you can literally come out of the jungle to Bajo Chiquito, get onto a depending on what time of day you come in, because the Piragua boats always leave in the morning. You can literally, if you come in at the right time, you'll get right onto a Piragua, go straight to Las Blancas, get right on a bus, and go straight up to Nicaragua.
Michael Yan, at @Michael_Yan is the Twitter address to watch Michael's reporting. We're heading to Texas because the other side of the border has big stories to tell. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.